You are listening to the Leadership or Delete sidebar episode. Join Austin and Dice as they put some smoke in the air.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Leadership of the Leaf. My name is Austin.
And I'm Dice. And this is sidebar. This is a sidebar, right? I want to talk freely.
Do you think this is a free country?
Hey, no notes. I get to say whatever the fuck I want.
Fair enough. How about you tell me what the fuck you are smoking?
Sir, I went to a brick and mortar and I saw this.
Congratulations.
I saw this label, this packaging.
Wait, was it Total Wine?
It was not Total Wine.
Oh, okay.
And the packaging is that wonderful Carolina blue looking color.
That looks like baby blue, like what you'd see on a baby invitation.
That's fine. I picked it up because of that color, because of that.
Okay.
It is a CLE PCA exclusive 2023. So naturally I gravitated towards it and I was like, you know what? I'll give that a try. I didn't go to PCA, but I'll try this cigar.
Interesting. I'm interested to see what it smokes like.
So far, so good.
Okay. And the Hennessy you're pairing that with, sir?
Oh, I do apologize, sir. The Hennessy I am actually pairing it with today is VS. Nope. Scratch that.
I don't know.
I'm scratching it. Yeah, I'm telling you now. I made a Hennessy Black and Sprite.
You're like my child when we play Battleship and he tells me that I'll never hit something and then I go all around it and he goes, you're just outlining my ship. And I said, oh, so I need to shoot in the middle. All right, got it. He goes, no, I take it back. I said, too late, buddy. He goes, no, I said I take it back.
Do you let him win?
Fuck no. World is full of disappointment. He needs to learn how to handle it.
He need to learn a better strategy.
Fuck yeah. You can't be telling me where your ships are.
Oh, tell me what you're smoking.
I am smoking a La Galera Connecticut.
Oh, mine's a Connecticut too.
Nice. And I decided to pair that with a lovely crystal rum from Esprit de Cru. Again, one of my favorite rum spirit distilleries in the panhandle of Florida. If you're ever down there, I cannot say enough good things about them. Please go down and see them. Tell Patrick I said hi. Enjoy his lovely... He actually does a phenomenal job. I got to take you there one day. He does a phenomenal job getting you to taste the different flavor notes in the rum. Awesome job. Can't say enough good things about him. Go down there, test it out. If you're ever in like Pensacola, Destin area, go check them out and tell them I sent you. Don't know if it'll get you anything, but yeah, go down there. Say what's up to Patrick. He's a good, great guy. Anyways, sidebar edition, right? So we get to, this is an opinion-based episode.
Yes.
Right. All right. So how do you feel about this equation? Rules without relationships equals rebellion.
Okay. I can see where you're coming from. Rules without relationship. So essentially someone just kicks out rules with no relationship, then are you going to abide by the rules?
Right. Or are you going to rebel? You're going to say, fuck that guy. He has no idea what this process is like. All he does is say, hey, I now need everybody to wear welding masks when they do this job. What the fuck are we doing? Welding masks? I'm filling up an oil drum with fucking like, why do I got to weld it? No, fuck that shit. I'm going to rebel against that.
Relationship-wise, like, do I have to have a relationship with someone to follow their rules?
No. Okay. To that point, right? I don't have a personal relationship with lawmakers in Washington, D.C. that decide that, you know, I have to wear a seatbelt when I drive my vehicle.
Okay.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
I do it partially, mostly because of the fine, but like, you know, there's those times where you're like, hey, no loitering around here. Fuck you. You're going to stop me from taking a phone call in your parking lot? Fuck you. What do you do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can see that. I guess I can see where I would find it difficult that someone that doesn't even know where the rubber meets the road is coming up with rules for the task at hand when they never done the task at hand themselves.
Right. Or even if they have done the task at hand, like I had a boss at one point say that I needed to write down every hour by hour of what I did per day, in a little notebook. And I was like, well, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Why am I doing this? It makes no damn sense. And he had an idea for it, and it was okay. It was like, hey, this helps you keep track of things for, you know, awards, or if you're trying to come up with a performance report of like what you did, you can kind of look back in this notebook. It'll help you. But because I didn't have that relationship with him, all he did is come out and say, hey, new rule. Everybody has to write down everything that they're doing on a by-hour basis. Go. How many people do you think actually wrote down what they did on a by-hour basis?
I remember that, and I think the answer maybe was one.
Exactly.
One out of what, 50?
Yeah, easily. Easily. Then nobody did it because he didn't have a relationship with anybody. He couldn't explain what the point of this was. And we couldn't take him seriously because we didn't believe on a certain level that he had our best interests at heart.
Right. I can definitely see that. Because if he was in the thick of things, or he actually came out the office more often than not, instead of just with these silly ass little rules that he's coming up with, I would see people would listen a lot more. I know, especially someone I don't know or I've never seen before tells me something. Hey, get off the grass. But what, motherfucker, I don't know you.
Right.
Walk wherever I want.
I don't know what you have. Now, maybe it's the caretaker that he's telling you to get off the grass because he just treated it with a bunch of pesticides. I don't know. You know, but like if somebody just comes up and starts yelling at you, you're like, eh, what the, who the fuck are you? Why are you telling me anything?
Instant become a naysayer. Instantly. Yeah. Rebel right. Instantly.
Fuck you. I do what I want. Disrespect your surroundings.
So what kind of relationship would you look for?
So
like, where's that line?
Well, and that's a fair question, right? I at least have to know what type of boss that is, right? What type of, like, what does he care about? Does he care about the bottom line? Does he care about his people? Does he care about safety? You know, if he says, if I get a boss and I'm like, hey, that guy cares about safety, and I know that's what he cares about first and foremost, and he says, hey guys, I need everybody to start wearing leather gloves when you do this procedure because I'm concerned about X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, all right, you know, I believe that that's true. I believe he has some data to back that up. But if some Joe Schmo that is some C-level executive says, hey guys, I'm down in the warehouse and I noticed that nobody was wearing the leather gloves. I need you guys to wear some leather gloves when you're moving boxes. Bitch, fuck you. I don't know you. Like, I don't know what you're about. Like, why? What's the point? I've been doing this for, you know, 15 years without wearing gloves. Why would I start wearing gloves now?
Yeah, what exactly is the point? Please, yeah. Please educate me more to the point. Because right now, I don't want to wear the gloves. I actually hate gloves. Up until this point, gloves are the enemy, because now you brought this to light for what reason? Yeah, I can see that.
So the minimum I need to know about that leader or about the rule maker is what is their concern, right? Are they concerned about people profit, safety, what's their concern? Where is this coming from, right? If I don't have that at least basis of a relationship of where I could see their point of view, I is highly likely to tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. And the horse they rode in on, because
yeah,
I have no loyalty to you. So why would I even really listen to words you have to say?
Right. And this could be the CEO of the company. Hey guys, I need you guys to start wearing gloves. I don't know you. That's my purse. Fuck you. I don't know who you are.
Well, I know these type of situations, let's say the CEO, because of course you're not going to say fuck you to the CEO or whoever signs your paycheck. You're not going to say that to them, right? So right. If they come up with some kind of wackiness or just outlandish rule that doesn't really relate to the task at hand, when that person comes around, you, all right, yeah, here we are using our gloves. Then when they're not around, you're not going to use your gloves. You're not going to listen to any kind of reasoning or rules that they have until they are actually around. So really, was it effective?
Yeah, exactly. It's not effective at all. It's the minute they walk out of the building is the minute I go back to doing things that I need to do and the way I want to do them. That's required.
And then if you have some underlings or subordinates or whatever, they pretty much gonna follow your lead. Like, yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, so, and I might not tell him to his face, hey, go fuck yourself, but I'm gonna do it with my actions. Like, hey guys, I need you to wear gloves. Uh-huh, sure thing, boss, as I'm pulling my gloves on. And then as soon as he walks off, I'm pulling him right back off, going, yeah, fuck that dude, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You don't need this job.
Our production would be a whole lot more if we didn't wear these stupid gloves, right? So let's take them off and let's make this happen. Yeah, I can see that.
It's the point of this guy has no idea, or this executive has no idea how the sausage gets made. And now they're trying to tell me how to make sausage when they don't even understand the process themselves. Fuck that dude. I don't give a shit what he has to say. All right, yeah, sure thing, boss. Yeah, you signed my paychecks. I'll wear whatever you want me to wear. All right, go fuck yourself. I'm taking them off as soon as you walk out the room.
Well, I know a lot of these decisions and stuff that come out like that, because of course we've both been privy to the. It's a lot of knee-jerk reactions because you don't know which knee they're going to be jerking next. Like, exactly. All right, this is dumb. How dumb of a rabbit hole are we going to go down?
Well, I remember when I first started working for you, we were required to move stands, right? Like we had to move, big heavy stands with things attached to them, and I started to move one. I just started pushing. I was like, yep, let's move the stand, got it. And they go, and everyone stops. He's like, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? They go, oh, we got to do this checklist. I was like, checklist to move a thing on wheels from one side of the shop to the other? We have to do a fucking checklist for this? For what fucking reason? And they're like, oh, people have gotten injured doing this stuff because they weren't following the safety rules. So now we have to do this checklist. My first initial thought was like, I don't give a fuck. Who said that? And they're like, oh, it's this person, this boss of the shop. And I was like, I don't know that motherfucker. Fuck that shit. I ain't doing a fucking checklist to move something that's common damn sense.
Yeah, I remember that shit. That was the thing with that is the checklist kind of like went away. It faded away.
Yeah, like, within three months.
Because it didn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of those things like that person patted them, came out, said, hey, we're going to put this checklist. And they went back to their office and they said, patted themselves on the back, said, man, I did a great job. I'm doing the Lord's work out here, making sure my people are safe. And little do they know, outside of their office, right outside their office, ain't no motherfucker followed that damn checklist.
That checklist was so dumb. I remember, I think I was fighting against that checklist because I was like, it's called natural selection.
Yeah.
If a motherfucker wants to get injured, let him get injured. Doesn't make sense.
Right. And it was just one of those things. So like that's sort of the stuff that, you know, he had a rule. He had no relationship with anybody outside of his office. And again, within 2 months, 3 months, or whatever it was, that rule faded into obscurity because nobody paid attention to it, because nobody took it seriously.
Right. But when I remember when he was asking about it, I was like, oh yeah, everyone uses that checklist. Yeah. No one used that checklist.
Right.
But in the same note, if he came out and built a relationship with everyone and maybe even showed an example, maybe even talked about it, maybe like whatever for the next 3 months about the whole situation, then it probably would have became like a norm. Like it, you know, peanut butter and jelly. Like it wouldn't have been a question by anyone. Like, right. Oh, we got to move a stand. Let's get this checklist and all that. And we're clear to go. But that guy never did that. No one ever did that.
Exactly. So you know, that we rebelled as workers and said, no, we ain't fucking doing that shit. It, you know, looking back, I was like, okay, I could see where he was coming from, and it makes some sense of just saying, hey, let's move this, and let's make sure that, you know, we all know where we're moving, let's all make sure that we follow the safety rules and blah 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 blah. But no, you know, that's not what happened. He just said, hey, here's a checklist, use it, bye, I'm gonna go golf.
Yeah. Some things are over redundant. Some things are dumb. And again, that's where the rubber meets the road. Like if he was associated with that, then he will understand like a checklist isn't the answer.
Right. Maybe a quick mental checklist, or hey, I'm gonna elect a moving super, person in charge of the move, and they're gonna make sure everyone is safe. Okay, fine. Got it. That makes sense. That person is making sure everyone knows where they're moving, where they're supposed to be stationed at, and how we're going to get there. Got it. We don't need a checklist, though. It's just... But that's one of those things. Like, he had no relationship. He made a rule. Everyone rebelled. Every single person rebelled against it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So... Well,
that's a clear, concise answer. Example. Example.
Well, that's just, you know, it's one of those things. So, you know, on the flip side of this, when is a rule not required to have a relationship?
Well, I would think if when it affects like the masses as a whole, or there's more data to support such cause, as your example with a seatbelt or speed limits. That's a great example. Not everybody follows that rule. I don't even follow that rule. But yet, if I'm in a 60, I'm not going to go 90.
Right.
I'll probably go 65, 70, 75 if I'm running late. But I'm not going to just go 100, you know? So that was a rule made by someone. It's a limit that was made by someone other than myself. I don't have a relationship with whoever designed that. But I can kind of get a better understanding. It's a residential area. There's lots of turns or whatever.
Or kids playing.
Yeah, well, I hope they're not playing in the 60 area, but I get your point. You get my point. I guess that would be okay if there was imperial data to back it up. We came out with this checklist. There has been over 400 people that has been injured when moving this equipment.
Boom. Oh, shit. 400 in what time frame? A year? That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of motherfuckers injured moving this equipment. We should take this seriously, guys. Hey, versus, hey, we had two incidents in the last 5 years, and now I created a checklist because the last two incidents happened within 2 months. How dumb were those motherfuckers?
I guess if it's prevention of life and limb.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it, you know, like this, like going back to the seatbelt thing, right? You know, a surgeon was seeing a lot of traumatic brain injuries when it came to car wrecks. He said, hey, you know what would really help it is a restraint device, and we have these seatbelts, but nobody's required to use them. What if we made a rule or a law saying, hey, everyone has to use them or you get fined, and here's all the data to back it up. Hey, that makes a lot of fucking sense. Let's start doing that. All right, let's start making people click it or ticket. You know, all right, cool, got it.
Yeah, well, it's just like your example you was using with welders, a welding helmet. I'm pretty confident the very first welder didn't was like, oh, I need a helmet before I start welding. There had to be blind motherfuckers over time. It was like, we got to do something about this. We should make a rule that if you're welding, you need a welding helmet.
Yeah.
Well, or the goggles or something.
Yeah. Well, and like you see like OSHA standards, right? Occupational Safety Health Administration. They're like, hey, that dude's down in a 12-foot hole, and there's nothing saving him from that hole caving in and getting buried. Or how is he supposed to get out? And they're like, well, he's just gonna ride this excavator bucket up. Like, that's unsafe as shit. We should not do that.
Yeah, but using OSHA, that is a relationship built into certain work environments. You don't have a personal connection or a personal relationship with that, but that organization already has that relationship dealt with certain organizations.
Right.
So that in my opinion, that relationship is already there. It's a written relationship that you have to have in certain industries.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. I agree. So then to the flip side of that, where does the relationship need to occur? Does it occur at the organizational level, at the personal level, for you to not rebel?
Well, I would say at an organizational level, if it's, when in Rome type situation, I guess there's no argument there, because now everyone is doing, all the lemmings are following the same example. But on a personal level, if there's a group of five of us and then some mofo that I haven't seen in 7 months come out and make up a rule and then walks away. Yeah, I'm not buying that, champ. I don't even know who the fuck this guy is. What is he even talking about? Does he even know we work in a wood shop and he's talking about chemicals?
Yeah.
We're not chemists. We're woodshop people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, we don't deal with chemicals. Like, we just cut wood. Like, it would make more sense if he said, hey, you need to make sure you guys are wearing safety glasses when you're cutting wood, in case something flies back and you say you protect your eyes. Okay, yeah, sure thing, boss. That makes sense. I got it. You want that rule? Understood. But if he comes out and says, hey guys, make sure that you're following the safety data sheet or whatever, and says, if it says you have to wear safety glasses when you're handling chemicals, you follow that. Do you see any chemicals around here? Do you see me working with chemicals? No? All right, then why the fuck did you waste my time with this?
I need everyone to come to this chemical safety training.
Yeah. Why?
I'll be like, well, sir, are we getting paid?
I'll go to the training, but I ain't doing shit. Like, I'm not going to follow this when I get back to my functional team, because it doesn't matter.
It's 100% irrelevant.
Yeah. As long as you pay me, though, boss, I'll show up wherever you need me to.
So will the rebellion be related to if it makes sense or not?
It could. I think it has a lot to do with that, because if the rule does not make sense for your particular team, organization, whatever, right? Like, going back to the wood shop, if they're like, hey guys, when you're typing orders into the computer, make sure that you follow proper computer safety etiquette, and make sure your wrists are elevated so you don't get carpal tunnel and blah blah blah. And you're like, do you know that I literally just use a bandsaw and a table saw all day? I'm not over here typing on a computer for 8 hours a day. I'm not going to get carpal tunnel, bitch.
Make sure you're sitting upright, back straight.
Yeah. Make sure the computer's monitors at the appropriate level. But what? I move wood for a living, man.
I don't know. I'm not the rebellious type.
No, but I think there's also those unconscious rebellions, right? Like, I don't want to say, maybe not even unconscious, but like the micro rebellions. You maybe you don't like go on strikes, so to speak, but maybe you're like, that's dumb. I ain't doing that. You know, go back to the glove example of warehouse workers. Like, hey, we need you guys to wear gloves to do this. Okay, that may make sense for warehouse workers. Hey guys, you guys are moving a lot of wood or a lot of boxes in an effort to protect your hands. I need you guys to wear gloves. All right, whatever. Go tell that to the office workers. You know, hey, from now on, everyone in the entire company is going to wear gloves when they're doing their job. Do you think the marketing analysts or the HR people or the sales people who are typing things into a computer are going to wear gloves while they're typing?
No, that's not, that doesn't jive.
Exactly. So they're going to sit there and go, no.
Or someone's going to question it. I will hope someone questions it.
Right. But I mean, even questioning is a type of rebellion. You know, hey, boss, this doesn't make sense. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? Everyone in the company needs to wear gloves when they're doing their job. All right, got it. I work on a computer for 8 hours a day. Why do I need to wear gloves? You want me to wear neoprene gloves? Or you want me to wear leather gloves while typing? That don't make no damn sense, son.
But yes, you're absolutely correct. That doesn't make sense. I don't know why I came up with such a silly rule. Anybody on the floor within the yellow lines have to wear gloves.
And I'm not saying like rebel, like go on strike or anything. I'm just saying like, you know, where the rule comes out and then it fades to obscurity.
Well, I mean, that would be a perfect example to me. Like, if someone comes up with a rule, sure, whatever. We'll fucking handy dandy do the rule. But if that rule eventually fades over time, then clearly it wasn't a good rule.
Right. Or that person didn't have the relationship to make it a permanent change. You know, it could be a good rule.
Yeah, it could be, but I just see some people making rules in an organization that's just not going to have that personal relationship with everyone. So how would, let's say, the one sitting in the glass tower, how is he going to relate that rule to everyone, especially if it's going to benefit everyone as a whole? And now you got the old crusty bastards like myself that's just, what the fuck does this guy know? So shouldn't, I would say there should be a buffer or something in there. I would hope someone sitting in a glass tower doesn't just come out and make a rule like that willy-nilly.
Yeah, hope is not a great plan, my friend.
That is 100% true. I don't know. I just don't get it. I hate to see silly things decided by someone that hasn't a clue, that has no clue.
I agree. What I wanted to have a clue about is what your first third is like.
Oh, that was very good, sir. Very good. I always forget the name. What's that spice for licorice? A-N-I-S-E? How you say it? Anise?
I don't know. Whatever. What the fuck you're speaking about?
It's that black licorice taste. There's a word for it.
Okay.
You know the word.
I do.
You know the rules for that word.
Do I?
I don't know. It has that black licorice taste to it. It's creamy with that black licorice taste. I can feel it on the retro inhale. It's not spicy. It's very mild. Enjoyable.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting a mix of pepper. Maybe a little bit of like a baking spice and a nuttiness. That's what I'm getting.
And what cigar was you smoking? I'm sorry, I forgot.
La Galera, Connecticut.
So, La Galera, is that a... That's not Drew Estate, right? That's
No, it's Ho Chi.
Ho Chi Blanco?
Jose Blanco. Jose Arnaldo Blanco.
Got it. So it's a Blanco cigar. Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, you see it now, right? And it's kind of a weird thing to say, but you know, it kind of illustrates the point. A lot of car companies are saying, hey, we're going to go to electric vehicles. And there's a lot of people in the world that are like, no, I'm not going to an electric vehicle. You can't make me. I think they're weak. I think they're lame. I think whatever, right? I miss the sound. Well, the way of the world is going towards these electric vehicles. You know, I'm not saying that they're the future, right? Like, I'm just saying that that's what it seems to be, where it's going, where the rules are going. And so people are trying to start rebelling. They're like, no, I'm going to buy up gas cars as long as I can.
Well, that's a natural progression. How many people today can drive a stick shift? So it's a natural progression. And people are still going to rebel. There's some people out there that's all they're going to drive is a stick shift. And, you know, a clutch or whatever you want, a manual, whatever people call them nowadays. That's fine. But eventually it's going to be phased out. The rules are going to be set in place. You can rebel as long as you can. And that goes back to that whole relationship thing. It's, you don't necessarily have a relationship with all these car companies, but eventually you're going to have to bow down to their selection. Whether you have a relationship with them or not, it's better if you do have a relationship with, let's say you're a Toyota fan or a Ford fan, and all these Ford fans or whatever are going to hate electric, but then the Mach-E comes out and now you see these diehard Ford people are now going to jump on it. Look at the trucks. Was the Lightning, Ford Lightning?
Yeah.
People that have been naysaying my electric car for years, now all of a sudden are turning their eyes to that Lightning.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, people are going to rebel if they don't understand the decision. People are going to rebel if they don't believe in the decision. People are going to rebel if they don't have that relationship with the rule maker, right? If they don't understand either the rule maker's reasoning, or they don't believe that they have their best interests at heart.
So, in conclusion of all of this, what you're telling me is I need to make sure I have a rapport and a relationship with everyone involved, so when I come up with my silly rules, people will do them.
Yes. Maybe mine is a silly rule, but, you know, a rule in general.
Right. Well, I will hope. Again, I use that word. Look at that. Stop using the word hope. I would like to say that I would not come up with a rule without having a relationship with that whole reasoning for making the rule. I wouldn't come out with something out of the blue. There has to be a thought process behind it. There has to be a logical thought process behind it.
Yeah.
Because I have a relationship with whatever I'm making the rule for. I wouldn't come up with a rule for football because I don't watch football, but I can relate to some of the rules for basketball because I know basketball a whole lot more.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So just remember, everybody, if you're going to go out and try to make a rule, have a relationship with the people that you're making the rule for. You know, make sure you understand what their day-to-day is like before you make the rule. You may be introducing a lot more chaos than you think.
Oh, definitely don't want this chaos. Definitely don't want these people rebelling. You want a good team, great team, work together, and fuck it all.
Exactly. Well, I think this has been a wonderful sidebar. Until next time, I'm Austin.
And I'm Dice.
And just remember, great leaders smoke great cigars.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Leadership of the Leaf. The comments and opinions expressed by the host and guests does not reflect the opinions of those that broadcast this show, nor does it reflect any of our affiliates.